Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville, as we kick off.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Hour number three of the program. It's Tuesday edition of the show. And this segment is brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union.
They're 85 years old this year.
85.
That's what I said.
That's wild.
It's 85 years wild.
Right now, you can sign up your kid for a Jumpstart account and let your child become a financial superhero by opening a Jumpstart savings account, just another super tool to help our children learn smart financial habits. For anyone age 17 and under, 3% APY for the first $500, federally insured by NCUA. You can visit tvacreditunion.com/jumpstartsavings for more details. And for all the details about the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, just head to tvacreditunion.com or walk into over 20 branches right here in East Tennessee. Don't forget, they're still churning out home loans, car loans. They can do all of that for you as well. It's moving together through life, upward and forward, with the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. So we didn't quite get a chance to wrap up the last topic. I mean, Pruitt is, you know, Ubben wrote that despite some people, you know, criticizing recruiting, I guess, a little bit with the last cycle, that this team really did fill most of their, you know, roster needs. And obviously on the offensive line, it was an absolute haul. I mean, I think in a it's hard because no one in college football can really talk in a vacuum. Really, I think the only times you get an unbiased opinion is like if you and I are breaking down like Oklahoma or you know, like some school that really has no relationship with us, even in the conference. Like if we have to talk about Kentucky, we're biased one way or the other. If we have to talk about Alabama or LSU or even Missouri and those types of schools. But if people that don't have any type of tie to Tennessee had looked at recruiting or looked at the team last year and said, man, this offensive line is just not any good. They really need to recruit that position. And then you could fast forward it straight to they're going to get this guy and this guy and this, and, you know, four offensive linemen in one class, two just top blue chip tackles at the most important position. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, man, that's a shock. This team wasn't any good. Their offensive line sucked. And they reeled in one of the best classes in the country, right up there with the teams that are winning national titles and playing for them. So, I mean, that is a really big deal as Pruitt overhauls the roster. Ubben wraps it up with, does winning fix everything? Pruitt has the look of a man who's determined to try to find out. 10 years after Tennessee passed on Patterson, the program does have a football coach. Now Pruitt just has to prove
we did it.
He's a winning football coach.
Okay, well, that's like saying that doesn't make any sense.
Well,
I mean, everybody's a football coach.
No, what he's saying is,
like a football guy,
yeah, like a guy, because if he was too much of a football coach, right? It kind of ties up the beginning and the end. Tennessee has now hired. If there's a knock on Pruitt, it's that he's too much of a football coach. Doesn't, you know, do the other.
I'll take this over the latter, man. Like I'll take too much football over not enough football when we're trying to, you know, win at football. Don't mean to go out on a.
I agree.
Not trying to go out on a super limb here. I'm just saying.
I mean, everybody wants the full package, right? Everybody wants the Dabo Swinney, who people like him, and he's, you know, beating Saban and winning national championships. But you gotta. If you have to start on one side of the coin, I'd rather know that my guy knows football. I'd rather start there.
Amen.
Let him grow into the guy that's comfortable in the press conference because he's won and he can just, like, or not be any good at press conferences. That's fine, too, if I'm winning on the field. Like, I care less about that. But you kind of stopped me during the summer of Smokey thing. Did you want to out of time. No, you're good.
It feels like a kick in the face to a lot of people. I get that. But apparently the concerns were not just the coaches didn't want to do it. I don't know to what level that actually went. Apparently this was also in big part a financial decision by the university, because private jet fuel ain't cheap. Chartering the plane, for three coaches and a couple staff members ain't cheap, and they weren't selling enough tickets on the caravan to kind of make up the difference. It's $5 a ticket for these things. If 200 people show up, that's fantastic. That's like a pretty good turnout. It's $1,000. You're not covering the cost of the flight. And then if, I don't know what percentage would be, but I mean, how many season tickets did they sell this last year? Was it 68, 64, something like that? I don't know that the math really made sense. So I think this was a, we're going to still give you something with the Summer of Smokey, but we probably need to be putting our efforts elsewhere to focus on winning, and this is just kind of a big financial hit when, you know, it's tough to convince people to buy season tickets at full price right now. And I think this is just where you are. Like, I think, you know, in the article it mentions it. Like, this has been a very ho-hum summer for Tennessee football. I think basketball, especially if they were to get Blackshear, but I think basketball season tickets next year will sell pretty good. But I think people have just bought in too much too early before, and I think they're just in a wait-and-see mode on Pruitt, and I'm fine with that, meaning Pruitt just needs to focus on football and recruiting in the meantime. Focus on getting a really good staff. Focus on developing your players. Focus on team bonding. Focus on all the things you can control that hopefully give you a better product on the field in the fall, because if you do that, ticket sales take care of themselves. Even if you haven't sold a ton of season tickets, like, start 3-0 and then go beat Florida. Like, all the rest of the games until something terrible happens are going to sell a ton of tickets.
I mean, we agree with that, right? That winning is your main attendance issue?
Yeah. For Tennessee. I mean, I
feel like
there's a global attendance issue, which is HDTV and prices of tickets anyway. But you're not going to sell the max amount that you could with all the other factors unless you're winning. Unless you're competitive in all your games.
Right. I feel like the,
like, that's how you fix. But I literally just got an email. Purchase football away game tickets before June something. They're hearing us talk about them. They decided to bust out the... Go ahead and send this now, please.
Phones and computers,
if you don't
mind, are listening.
Just send it out. Send it out. But no, I mean, yeah, that's Tennessee's biggest issue. It's not just that Jeremy Pruitt didn't win last year. It's that you haven't won significantly in more than a decade. Fix that. And as many people who could and would come to a game... will come.
Introducing Evolve Pass for football. A new view every game. That's their selling point.
That's definitely one way to sell it. A new view every game. All right. It's not terrible. It's just not great.
I think it's...
That's actually really funny to me.
I think it's
never
a little,
see the same game twice.
I think it's a little short-sighted that they don't allow you to, like... You can't buy your season tickets online only right now. Like, they're still trying to sell new season tickets. They haven't closed that window off. That would be dumb. Now, they did let
people...
They
want you to call in.
They did let people like you who've had them for years, you know, have renew your seat and hold it, you know, and get locked in. They had a deadline for that.
Right.
But they'll sell new season tickets right up until the last moment.
As they should.
But isn't it a little, like, I mean, people don't... actually dial someone on the phone anymore? Like, shouldn't you be able to? I mean, aren't you kind of missing anyone that's under the age of 35 by not allowing them to just book online? I know it's a big purchase.
You're not missing everyone, but I would say there are some people who are just like, why can't I do this online? Okay, maybe that just means I shouldn't do it. Yeah, I mean, people convince themselves of anything.
I mean, to me, that's annoying.
Yeah, it's not the smartest
decision.
In
fact, being able to just scroll around the stadium and see what's available for season tickets, even if I still had to call to actually make the purchase, is annoying. Because I can't see, like, what's available, what's not, what the pricing is. And I'm like, I don't want to call. Screw it. I'll just buy games I want to go to.
Yeah, I don't blame
you. I mean, that's like a block. I don't understand why they do that.
Well, clearly Tennessee has at least figured out that a full stadium is important.
At least they're trying now.
Right. Obviously, they're going to make some money on the Vol Pass and the individual game tickets and this and that. But, like, I think they're realizing that, because in the past it was, oh, if you don't want them at this price, then I guess you're just not going to get them. And then you go to a game and there's 80,000 people for an SEC game, and it's like, this was pretty stupid. And then the concessions people and the T-shirt people, they're calling saying, hey, why are our numbers so down? Why aren't we getting people in the stadium? Like, there are other people who benefit from this place just being full local businesses, I would guess, are probably chiming in, because this is a whole economy thing. So it seems like Tennessee is at least taking that next step to, okay, let's get everyone we can at full price, and then we'll start releasing some of these package deals, these special three-game things in the Vol Pass, and we'll see if we can at least get people in the stadium. It's a step in the right direction. It's not perfect, but it's you're getting there. At least they're trying. It's a step. I don't know how far they can go with this step.
Yeah, to me, winning and losing is like this massive big variable of attendance, right? Like that's, and then all those other things, like having great Wi-Fi, is kind of like a little sliver around. Like if
yeah,
Neyland Stadium,
but wouldn't you just try to check every box you possibly could?
That's your job. Yeah,
I mean, you can say that. Well, if we fix the Wi-Fi and only get an extra 4,000 people a game, is it worth it? It's like, well, it's not only are those 4,000 worth it. Is it those 4,000 plus everyone else who's already there being happy with the in-stadium experience?
Oh, no, I wasn't saying that.
No, I'm just saying, like, there's a bunch of different little factors.
Ubbin's asking the question, though, is winning the most important thing?
Yes. Like, I mean, without question.
Yeah.
Without question. But that said, there are other factors as well that, in the meantime, could have gotten you probably better attendance.
Right.
If concessions and tickets were more reasonably priced, even with the losing, you probably would have had better attendance. If Wi-Fi, parking, checking people in through the gate, like literally just the scanning of tickets and checking people's bags and security pat-downs was more efficient, you would probably have more people in the game. If you had been selling alcohol this whole time, not that that's their fault, but
right,
if you were to sell alcohol, if they do get that passed, you will likely see an uptick in attendance and dollars spent per person in the stadium when you go and count the final revenue amount at the end of the day. It's all these little things that you could have been doing in the meantime. Again, at least they're getting around to it. It's not going to be too little too late. It is too late because they should have just done it from Jump Street. But yeah, winning cures everything. I mean, it's all people want to go. I mean, that's why you spend the money to go to the game. So that afterwards you can say, I was there when.
Mm-hmm.
I was there when James Wilhoit hit the 52-yarder after missing the extra point. I was at that game. I personally spent the money to be there, and I witnessed this. I was there in 2016 when Dobbs hit Malone on the slant and Nealon damn near fell into the river. I was in that stadium. That's what people want to say. And they'll deal with some bad games here and there. They'll deal with the loss here and there. But they want to be able to know that before the season, there are 6, 7, 8 home games. I'm going to have a good experience in the majority of these, and a chance for something magical that we will talk about for decades. If you convince them of that, you will get more people in the stadium. And until you get there, Wi-Fi, money, as far as concessions, all that stuff, I mean, all of it just adds up. And you could have been fixing it slowly but surely, but at least it's an overhaul, again, just a little too late.
We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here. It's hour three of Three and Out. Welcome back to Three and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Billy Williford. Intern Will getting trained up here as well. It's a Tuesday edition of Three and Out. We had some response on the recruiting we were talking earlier. Keyshawn Lawrence is a guy with a lot of heat right now. Houston Ensworth out of Asheville. He's a safety, 6'1", 195, four-star, and a high four-star at that. Number three safety in all the land. And 24/7 Sports even has him as the best player in Tennessee. For their rankings, he's second. I think it's Reggie Grimes off the top of my head, maybe. Might be the composite number one. But anyway, I mean, he's a top 100 player nationally, regardless of position. Six crystal balls, 100% Tennessee.
Bring him on.
Yep.
Want. We'll take.
Well, it was kind of corners.
Breaking news, we'll take.
Yeah.
I would much rather have him than not have him if we want him.
I feel like they kind of shored up the corners now if the safeties come through. I mean, they already kind of started that process with guys we'll get to see this year. Man, this secondary. You talk about a team having the persona of their coach. You know, you start with the – it's kind of nice, though, because you'd have the – like the secondary would become a strength, and really the offensive line was so bad it became such a point of emphasis, and they came through. Let's not forget that. And they came through on the recruiting trail with that position. I mean, the level of recruit you got at offensive line as compared to your failures on the football field, just wins and losses, was like that massive gap that you need to make, to rebuild something. So I kind of like that at least there's some evidence
like
on both sides of the ball.
Abnormally large gap between what you saw and then what you got to replace them.
Exactly. And a lot of coaches try to talk up playing time and, come fix our problem, but – it's hard. It's easier said than done.
Yes.
And they were at least able to do that, and we'll get to see the fruits of that labor at least a little bit here, you know, this season, and then hopefully from years beyond that. Alex said, the smoke around Keyshawn Lawrence sounds like he could commit any day now. That alone is all caps. Huge.
Huge.
And that was in response to Vol Nation Recruiting saying, you know, the gap's not really that wide if Tennessee can just land some of these guys that they have right at the top that they're favorites for.
That would be a plus.
I do.
It's weird we keep stacking up so much in the secondary. Is Pruitt a guy who just likes to have a bunch of able bodies? Because it seems like secondary, those guys are kind of used to running around, and it's not as physical of a position as, say, linebacker and defensive line. Like, you're not necessarily getting crunched every single play. But, again, like we've talked about this, and I'd be really interested to ask him a philosophy question of, do you kind of build the secondary first, ideally? And then, and maybe this is a, well, we've kind of missed on defensive line, not missed, but maybe not gotten some of the super high caliber pass rushers that we've wanted. So in order to compensate for that, We're going to have to keep stacking really talented members of the secondary to give our guys that extra second and a half to get there, because their technique's going to be good. They're going to be strong enough. They're just maybe not the most dynamic players that Jeremy Pruitt's used to having. And then as you get those types of players, prove you can develop them, then you can start putting a little more focus on getting the next five-star DN, the next five-star outside linebacker pass rusher type, and then maybe we see a little bit less take any and everybody in the secondary type of, because the secondary recruiting since he's gotten here has been absolutely dumb. Like, it's been amazing. 4-star,
yeah,
everything. And it feels like just a matter of time before those are, you know, some 5-star guys. And I guess maybe if you have 5-stars, you're not needing quite as much depth. But I do wonder if this is a, well, we didn't inherit a great defensive line, so we had to go get some guys in the secondary who could get there and get there quick. Now we'll focus on D-line. But once you prove that you can develop freshmen, like we saw last year with Alante Taylor, with Bryce Thompson, then it becomes easier to get guys like Jalen McCullough, 4-star, Warren Burrell, 3-star, 4-star out of Atlanta. You know, it becomes a little bit easier. So then it's like momentum begets momentum. If Darrell Taylor has a big year, is it all of a sudden much easier to recruit that outside linebacker DN pass rusher type? If Emmett Gooden and Savion Williams, if they come in and have, or is it Savion Frazier? I always get Savion Williams and Savion Frazier.
Williams.
Savion Frazier was the linebacker a long time ago. Savion Williams, like if they have a really good year, if Darrell Middleton comes in and impresses, oh, well, D tackles now look at Tennessee and think, okay, yeah, they can get me ready. So then does it just become easier? Is this just a momentum thing and it just happened to start in the secondary because you got Alante Taylor, turned him into maybe your best corner, and then Bryce Thompson, your other true freshman corner, earned freshman all-SEC honors because people had to pick on him instead of Alante. Could be just a momentum thing, so it's a little bit easier in the secondary right now. But again, I mean, it all kind of works. I mean, if your defensive line's outstanding, you don't have to be as good in the secondary. If your secondary's outstanding, you don't have to be quite as good as far as getting to the passer, because they've got a little bit of extra time to get there. But it seems like secondary recruiting is, and you just changed your secondary coaches, and it didn't even seem to matter, right? I mean, you lost Charles Kelly, who was he safeties? And now you bring in Ansley, who I think is over all of it in the secondary, and he's your defensive coordinator. Seems pretty easy. All of a sudden, you get big Jim Chaney, and you got quarterbacks like Harrison Bailey doubling down on their commitment, and now Haynes King out of Texas is like, oh, well, I think I am going to go check out Tennessee, actually. Thank you for asking. Now we just got to get T. Martin to get those receivers in and David Johnson to go find us some baller running backs, because offensive line somehow, as you mentioned, seems to be working pretty good also. Just got to show the development, and I think everything takes care of itself. Maybe that's it. You showed development in the secondary, lickety-split, so everyone's like, yep, they can turn freshmen into all-SEC-type players in a very short amount of time. I'm absolutely going to go there and play for Coach Pruitt. I don't really know where it begins or ends, but it's all kind of cyclical. It all kind of works together. But typically, you're a little bit better somewhere when you start. Seems like Tennessee better in the secondary, and secondary recruiting coming easy. I'll say easier than just about anything else.
Yeah.
And offensive line somehow. Doesn't make any sense, but if there's one thing Will Friend has done, it's get some big uglies.
They've definitely brought those guys in, and I mean, I can already see it now. Fall camp, going to be frustrating because everybody's going to be watching the offensive linemen, and there's really not much that you're going to be able to see that's going to tell you much about how they're doing.
As far as watching practice, with what you get to see, you can tell absolutely the least about defensive line and offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Because until they're beating someone one-on-one, it doesn't matter. I could look at Kavarius Crouch and say, man, he's fast. Receivers, wow, he runs well, cuts on a dime, he's shifty. Quarterback, he throws it great. That's awesome. But linemen, you just don't know until you see them against people in live action, which no one gets to see, so we wait until Georgia State.
Remember the Kongbo year where people would just make an entire post about, look at this picture.
Look at how big he is. Wow, he's so big. This means things. It's kind of sad, really. We try to hype for no reason. Well, clicks on the internet.
I mean, the excitement is worth it, but you just can't base excitement off any of that fake news, I guess. I feel bad using, I don't know. It's not really fake news. It's just... It's not like a complete...
It's a reporter tactic.
Yeah, it's not a complete...
It's a hype tactic.
It's complete misrepresentation of the facts. It's just guessing news. You're just like guessing based on what stuff looks like. Look at the way this guy
looks.
It's
eyeball test, which has meant very, very little in football when they're not actually playing football.
We'll come back as we move through hour three here. Got to get Houston some mini golf recommendations coming up.
I need vacation tips.
Welcome back to Three and Out. You know, mid-June, so vacation time's coming up soon.
Very soon.
Houston needs some advice.
I always like advice, especially when I'm visiting somewhere. Hey, what do I need to do here? What's the must-see, must-do?
Where does the beach rank on your summer vacation list? Is it number one? Or, like, if you... I mean, if
just
you go
like in
if you go
general, all, the beach.
Yeah, just a beach vacation. Like,
I mean, it's up there.
Like, if you miss going to the beach for an entire summer, like, does it feel like you haven't experienced summer? How important to Houston Crest is the beach vacation?
I mean, it's not like a must have once a year, twice a year thing, but I would probably pick a beach trip as my number one. You know, may vary it year to year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's up there. I would say the beach or a mountainous national park.
We're kind of spoiled because you can get a little mountains kind of anytime you want it here.
You can get a lot of mountains. But because I'm used to green tree grass-covered mountains like the Smokies, I enjoy the jagged rock, tall mountains of, you know, Colorado, Wyoming, canyons, that types of.
You know,
we
were at Grayson Highlands over the weekend up in Virginia, and even though it was the Appalachian Mountains up there in the Virginia Highlands, like it still was different than, you know, the Smokies are almost like a rainforest.
Yes.
Up there it was it was more open, the trails were a little easier, the hikes were generally shorter. It's the state park where they have the wild ponies, so that was cool.
Hmm.
But sometimes you can get the Smokies kind of feel a certain way. It's nice to just have some other variations. But the beach, back to the beach. You're going to one of the classic beach destinations.
Damn right I am.
Of the East Coast. The one and only Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
The Dirtle Myrtle.
Yep.
And I'm excited about it.
Are you?
Sure. Sure.
You know, I'm from South Carolina originally. Now, not near the
beach.
I'm
aware.
Everyone thinks if you live in South Carolina, you must live at the beach.
People really say that?
Oh, yeah. Not true. I lived in the upstate. But still, you're not that far from the beach compared to these poor souls in Ohio and Indiana that come driving down through there every year.
They ruin the beach every year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No matter where you go. Go to the Gulf or Atlantic.
Just stay in your town.
Yeah. Find a lake or something up there. Well, anyway.
Taking over Norris, all the Ohio and Kentucky
that's
people.
True. I found all about that at Memorial Day weekend.
Everybody. There's Ohio State and Kentucky flags on the back porch of every house on Norris Lake. It is disgusting. It makes me sick. Hate it.
But anyway, back to Myrtle Beach. So I've been to Myrtle Beach my fair share.
I think I've only been once.
I don't go there. We don't go there anymore, though, because it's like, you know, that was then. Now we do other things. What are you – you've only been there once?
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
North Myrtle or Myrtle? Because they're pretty far apart. They're different
places.
When
I went before, it was Myrtle. Like
right there.
Yeah. This is high rise. This is North Myrtle.
High rise and buffets.
This is a little more classy. This is, you know, Briarcliff Acres and Cherry Grove Beach area. Yeah.
Okay.
But don't think I'm not going to travel southwest on the 17 and go see, you know, Tanger Outlets, right? Broadway at the beach. Skywheel, the Walmart there apparently is good. Family Kingdom Amusement Park, that actually sounds kind of fun. I mean, it's basically Gatlinburg Pigeon Forge the beach.
That's Myrtle Beach.
There's even a Dixie Stampede there, if I'm not mistaken.
Is there?
I think so.
I don't think you can say Dixie anymore.
Oh, Southern Heritage Stampede? Whatever they want to call it. Wild Water and Wheels. Don't know what that means. A lot of golf.
Yeah, the best thing about Myrtle Beach is the golf. Like, it is the golf capital of the world.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to take my club.
Are you going? Yeah.
Knowing I'm going with plays.
Oh.
Yeah, my extended family invited me, and they, to their credit, they're all sweethearts. They invite me every year. Usually it just doesn't line up. This year it kind of lined up to where I could go, so I said, heck yeah, I'm going to go. So I'm going to Myrtle. I don't know what to do.
My wife doesn't like the food at Myrtle Beach as much because it's all fried stuff. And then, you know,
I remember,
you get the calabash stuff too, which just means they fried it a different way.
Is that really what that means?
Yeah, I mean, it's calabash style. It's just still a fried style. So, and it's mainly, you know, buffets and fried. A
lot of buffets.
Yeah.
I do remember that from being there. I think it was like maybe high school or freshman year of college or something like that. We went to.
When you go to the beach, do you eat seafood like as much as possible, or do you?
I would prefer to,
yeah.
But I'm not a big like seafood buffet guy.
Yeah,
you know, I'd rather just order what you
want.
Yeah, I'd prefer to.
You like oysters?
Yeah, yeah.
I know crab legs are way up your list.
They got good oysters in Myrtle. You think?
Probably. You just got.
I bet there's also
a lot more.
Probably it's a lot of bad oysters in
Myrtle.
Yeah,
you got to find the right ones.
That's always my biggest fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's never happened to me. But my biggest fear is to go get, like, oyster sick on day one, and then your whole week is ruined.
There's nothing wrong with Bonefish Grill, but when it's the fifth-ranked seafood restaurant in your beach
on the
city,
beach, yeah, it's a big problem.
That's just not good.
See, I don't like that.
I got a recommendation for you.
Okay.
The last time I was there, actually the last two times I was there, once in North Myrtle, once in Myrtle, the Duffy's Tavern had really good seafood.
Duffy's Tavern.
There's one in North
Myrtle.
I'll
make a note.
And there's one in Myrtle. They've got three locations, actually.
I've asked everyone what the best thing to do in Myrtle is, and so far, three of the five replies are turn around and drive home.
Oh, come on.
Myrtle Beach. Overrated, underrated? Overrated, probably.
I don't know. People hate on it so much now, it's kind of swinging back the other way.
Oh, because it's gotten so much hate that it's now actually underrated?
I like the long, dark sand, like packed down sand, you know, you can go for a jog and do different things.
It depends on what you like to do at the beach.
The Grand Strand, that's what they call it, you know. You don't have to go out on any islands, you know, the highway's just right there.
That's this stretch, that's what it's called?
The Grand Strand.
The Grand Strand.
That's why Myrtle Beach was so popular, because, you know, a lot of these North Carolina beaches, you have to go across bridges. Traffic patterns are weird.
Yeah.
And Myrtle Beach is just straight shut out there. Of course, then once everybody figured it out way back in the whenever.
Then it became a tourist trap.
There was so many people, then the traffic was still bad. But yeah, that's why Myrtle Beach is such a thing, because there's no barrier islands, they call them. There's no barrier islands. It's the Grand Strand. You just, your own land until you just hit the ocean.
So what do I need to do besides eat at your...
Duffy's. Remember Duffy's.
Duffy's.
No matter where, even if you've driven down or you're up, you're in Briarcliff, you're kind of right in between. So either direction you go, there'll be a Duffy's near you. Duffy's Street Seafood Shack, Main Street, North Myrtle Beach, or Duffy's Tavern right in Myrtle Beach. I ate there the last time I was there.
Ooh, there's
delicious.
There's an alligator adventure.
I got some big
three
captain,
blocks from my house.
I got some big captain's platter or something. Had all the. I was with some guys playing
fried?
Golf.
All fried?
No, all grilled. It was like you know, crab legs, oysters, you know, kraken, and I was with.
Now
some,
that's what I'm talking about.
I was with some guys that like don't really do seafood. They're like, "What the hell
Why?
Are you doing?" I was like, "Guys, let me teach you some things about life here."
I mean, if you're allergic, that's one thing. People who just don't like seafood, I just wonder if they've ever had good seafood.
Yeah.
Big seafood.
So I educated them that night.
As you should.
So, Billy has...
Ooh, there's a Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs right down the street from the old crib.
Yes.
Right near the Alligator Adventure. Preston's Seafood and Country Buffet. Nothing like a country buffet. I mean, I could have like biscuits and gravy and fried clam strips.
Mm.
Who doesn't want that? Umberto's, you know what that is?
Umberto.
Yeah. Is that it's probably a chain, I would guess. Greg Norman Australian Grill. That can't be bad. Greg Norman, he wore that hat. He knows what he's talking about.
How many people are you going with, Houston?
A lot.
A lot.
A lot.
Yeah,
a lot.
That's me, a group.
A lot of little kids.
Oh,
like
you gotta go
5 to 12. And then some high school, college age family members, and then, you know, there's some adults going. I'm being one of them. I'll probably be like in charge.
Yeah, you got to go play putt putt.
Is there a baller putt putt spot? Like, is there one we have to go to? Like Hawaiian Rumble Golf and Batting Cages? Is that the one?
That's not the one I sent.
What's that one called? The one you sent?
Myrtle Beach.
I haven't looked at it yet.
Myrtle Beach Mini Golf, right?
Oh, that's pretty easy to find.
And that should be...
They really just spelled it out there for you, didn't they?
I mean, that's...
Like, this is it. I want to play mini golf in Myrtle Beach.
That's,
search.
That's,
bang.
Yeah, that's the website, myrtlebeachminigolf.com.
Cut
They've
the check.
Got Mount Atlanticus.
Mm, yeah, that's it.
Mini golf.
Atlanticus?
Mount Atlanticus. That's tough. Not Atlantis. Mount Atlanticus.
When I went there a couple
Minotaur
years ago... Minotaur
Golf. No L, G-O-F-F. Like
the way
I like
you
to
say
it. All the time.
There's
hole
wow.
in one wins lifetime
yeah.
pass.
Yeah, on the 19th hole.
Then I have to go back.
Lifetime pass. You know.
Any hole in one?
No, 19th hole.
I think I see it.
It's like surrounded by water.
Yeah, I see it. You got to hit it down that little, not a peninsula. It's like a strait, they call it.
Yeah.
I think.
Do you want a suggestion on how to master that course?
I would love a suggestion. Please.
Take your own putter. That's the only...
And look like a dweeb?
That's the only way to play putt-putt.
I want one of those...
is if you take your own putter.
The Adam Scott...
Yes.
Now, that would be funny.
Adam Scott.
Just the...
Full-size.
The pendulum putter. Like, what?
Yeah.
What is this guy doing? It has, its own, big, long case. Yeah. I slide it out. Clip off the... The mallet cover.
Set it down and carry it around into every hole.
these kids are hitting with their little orange putters. I'm like, get out of the way, you little idiot. Let me win this thing.
You take your own putter to putt-putt,
Billy?
I take
my own putter everywhere.
Oh,
I'm making fun of it. I probably should do that. I like my putter.
You know how you don't lose a putt-putt anymore.
I never lose a putt-putt
anyway.
That's
part of the putt-putt challenge, though, is picking out. You got to pick out the putter. You want to pick out the ball that's not too scuffed up.
I take my own ball, too.
Oh, gosh. My family used to have legendary putt-putt battles. I mean, guys that play a lot of real golf. But part of the rules were you could not take your own ball. You could not take your own putter because that's part of the challenge. Now, you mentioned in the break that
your own ball.
That's what he just said. He takes
your
own
ball.
Yeah. I don't want a purple ball that has scuffs all over it. It doesn't roll right.
Have you seen the greens at any putt-putt in the world? No ball rolls right.
Oh, it
does. Those balls with the scuffs probably take out more of the bumps and bruises of the course than a regular one.
You're not reading the green right.
There's nothing like playing.
I don't lose at putt-putt.
A mini golf course.
You want to challenge me?
For the first time. Oh, man.
Let's go.
There's plenty. We got plenty of. We got Gatlinburger the mountains. We're up in the, you know, the mountains. I'm going to Gatlinburg by the sea.
Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach of the mountains.
There you go.
They got Gatlinburg by the sea. We got Myrtle Beach in the mountains, minus the beach.
Man, mini golf's gotten expensive.
Now you got to just know where to go.
Okay.
Well, it's probably worth it to pay a little more because some of those places, it's kind of tourist trappy.
Kind of a ripoff.
Went to one fairly recently, and I was pretty disappointed. I won, though. I won.
Playing against kids don't count as winning.
Who said I played against a kid?
I just know how.
I'm not worried about these kids. I'm going to stomp these kids. I want to challenge you.
Let's go.
When? When you want to go? Where should we go?
You can't use your putter, though.
Oh, yes, he can. I want him to.
Oh.
When I beat him with that slightly too short green stick.
The rubber cover on it. Oh, you're going to use the house putter, and he gets to use his regular putter, and you're still going to beat him?
That's right.
Oh, man.
No chance.
That's right.
I'll beat him by five.
You
want to
come? You want to come ref this? You want to be our official? I mean, you can play too.
I'll play, but not.
You can hit last.
Josh says Billy is a putt putt hardo. Color me shocked.
Taking your own putter to putt putt. Like you just walk in and get the people behind the counter are like, oh god, no, we got another one.
Do you get mad at the kids that they?
Do they charge you less if you use? Your own,
yeah. Is that
your
a
own putter
fee?
And, the,
like
and
that,
your
it's
own
like
ball?
Going skiing if you have your own skis.
Could you just say like, "Hey, I'm here to just walk the course."
I probably need
and
that.
And then just like slide it out of your pants, like the putter, of course. You know, just had this in here the whole time. I'll just hit a couple. I mean, I've had some friends back in the day who would sneak onto a golf course. You skip hole one and two. You get out of distance from the clubhouse. You play through like 15, mm-hmm. and then you walk back, and it's like, oh, no, we just won. No big deal. Leave the cart somewhere, whatever. Bring his own putter.
I know, for real. Final segment.
Is that a thing?
Coming back at you next. Final segment of the program, taking vacation advice for one Houston Crest. You got to play the baseball, Houston. Two words, baseball. 28 runs, wins, your choice of a prize. The Fun Plaza right
there on
the boardwalk.
I don't know if video games are really what I want to do on them.
No, it's like a pinball. It's an old, like, 70-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I got you. Mm-hmm. And still don't know that that's we'll see. We'll just see how it goes. Gonna do some bass fishing from the bank, though, I'll tell you that much. Apparently, there's a ton of ponds in and around Myrtle Beach, just loaded.
Yeah?
They're not gonna be loaded when I'm done. Yeah, they will, because I catch them release, but they'll be unloaded one at a time and then reloaded one at a time after I release them.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got me covered. Seafood, putt-putt.
Yep.
Maybe real golf. Maybe one morning I'll just wake up and go play around by myself with real golf.
Wait, you're in North Myrtle?
Yeah.
Make the drive. River's Edge Golf Course, Charlotte, North Carolina. It's right across the state line. You'll love it.
This is that one that you're in love with, right?
Yeah, it's my favorite. It's one of my favorites anywhere. I don't know how long your drive would be there, but
I'll check it out.
I don't think it's too bad from North Myrtle.
I'll check it out. See what happens.
Arnold Palmer Design Course. And the great thing is, if there's a day when you can go in the afternoon, if the weather's not too hot, you can get a great afternoon rate on it. So
you're talking.
You pay for like what you would pay around here.
What? Oh,
but
really?
But it's like one of the top, you know.
If I get the afternoon rate, you
yeah,
think?
Yeah.
So we talk like $65-$75.
I want to say
maybe less.
For
gotta get those tourists, man.
Like 50 last time.
Now you're talking.
I mean, it was not bad. And that came with the range balls too.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
I should tweet at them. Maybe they give me a free. That's a good point. Yeah, send out a couple pictures while I'm there. Just tell everybody how great it is. They got a driving range. We need to warm up.
Yeah, the balls come. It comes with it.
I'll take my own clubs for that, Billy.
Unlimited range
I'm
balls.
I'm gonna take my own clubs for that one.
It's probably
right?
Smart.
This says it's 44 minutes, like, from the Briarcliff Acres, like, beach out there. So
that's not bad. That's just a wake up early, a little morning drive, get nice and woke up, get there, stretch, hit
if
a couple off
if
the
If you're actually a little closer to North Myrtle, it'll be shorter than that. So, you know.
Good to know.
35 minutes or so. It's not bad. Right on the river.
This might
it's
be
got
perfect.
Elevation change.
I've got bass fishing ponds. Mm-hmm. We're taking a charter trip out into the Atlantic to catch some grouper and snapper. Got a golf course. Putt-putt. This might be a great vacation. I may come back with an entirely different perspective on Gatlinburg by the Sea.
Yeah.
I hope we're not there to do dinner shows and stuff, so I should have time to go do all the fun stuff. This could be great.
There's other courses that are pretty good. You usually get in around for like $35.
Maybe I'll play more than once. Maybe I'll play 36 holes. Mm-hmm. If I'm playing by myself, I should be able to just zip through them pretty quick. You know, probably buy a lot of extra balls. I haven't hit them all.
Well, you know, we got to the beach one time when I was a kid, when I was like in high school. My mom's like, I'm running out to get some shrimp. Anybody need anything? She had seen like the
some
fresh,
shrimp.
Yeah, like there was the fresh shrimp stand out there, you know. Oh. She can get some for the week.
Were they actually fresh?
Yeah. She's like, anybody need anything? I was like, I need golf balls. She's like, yeah, like I'm going to find a shrimp and golf ball. Right there.
Shut up.
The sign, shrimp and golf balls. They had recycled them.
I bet she felt like an idiot.
Out of, you know, they were selling them in the egg crates. They recycled golf balls. Money.
Wow. Wow.
You're going to have a blast.
I can't wait. I have a topic for tomorrow.
All right.
Football season weddings.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Just in general. Oh. I know a guy.
Oh, goodness. Sounds fun. Tune in tomorrow, 7 o'clock. We'll do it again right here on 3 and Out. The Blitz. Rick, Brandon, Chance, it's next. Stick with us right here for more Fan Run Radio.
Feel like you're paying too much for insurance? Let Redbeard Insurance Group help. We shop dozens of A-rated companies all at once to get you the best possible premium for the coverage you need. It's easy, fast, and there's no cost to you. Go to redbeardins.com, answer a few simple questions, and you'll get a quote